The number one thing that's holding you back from success, and you may not even know what it is. We're going to talk about that next.
You're about to hear the opinions, suggestions, and observations of a licensed real estate broker in California. Since each situation can be unique, do not consider anything said here as legal advice for your specific needs. Always seek out the advice of a suitable professional in your area for advice tailored to your situation. Please remember that when following advice, your results may vary. Please also understand that the information provided here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the speaker considers important.
You seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Real Estate Realities with the Rebel Broker. My name's Robert Whitelaw, and I am the Rebel Broker. Licensed real estate broker in the state of California, member of the National Association of Realtors, but please don't hold that against me. With you once again to share whatever insights I can into the wide, wonderful world of real estate and hopefully help you succeed in whatever it is you are putting effort toward. Today is sort of a free-form show. I had something I wanted to talk about, and I decided to go with it. It's really more just coming from me. I'm not going to be quoting a lot of stats that I'm finding online or articles or any of these other types of things. So much of this part of what I'm hoping we can accomplish here has to simply do with watching, you know, but not only watching what people are doing around you, but watching what you're doing. And today's show is focused on that very first thing that you have to do to start moving in a successful direction. You know, and this isn't me theorizing. I guess it is to some degree, but it's really it has a lot to do with the journey I've been on over the last couple of years. Because I'll tell you what, I never thought of myself as a guy who lets anything really stand in my way in terms of goals. I always thought of myself as a thoughtful person who was introspective enough to identify things that were in my way, figure out whether or not it made sense that they were in my way, and then move on. And I've come to realize that that's not always the case because I think we all like to think of the things that keep us from succeeding as relatively obvious. Right? A bad habit or something else that we just need to overcome because it's an obvious thing. But what I like to call the alpha excuse or the alpha barricade to you and success is the one that you're probably embracing the most because you believe it's not a blocker, but something that actually is important and something that you're doing as a responsible, maybe even a noble person for embracing it. We can go through some examples. We can even use examples from my own personal experience. But so much of this comes down to having to develop an ability to really look inward in terms of what keeps you from taking actions that you believe will lead to success or at least contribute to success. And then why don't you do them? And because it's not obvious, you know, it's not, I know we've all probably by now seen that, what's that kid's name who did the goofy just do it video? what was that kid's name? He was in one of the Indiana Jones movies. He was in all those Transformers flicks. Shia LaBeouf. I mean, you know, it's easy to make fun of, you know, and maybe in his own way, maybe this is my version of the Shia LaBeouf video. I'm just not using a green screen and a lot of hand gestures. and I'm calling this an alpha for a reason, right? I was trying to think of – it is absolutely at the very beginning and it is absolutely the first one you have to overcome because all the obvious things in your life – that you believe are contributing to you not achieving success are obvious things. And by definition, right? The obvious things. Maybe you're lazy. Maybe you're somebody who has trouble getting motivated, right? These are things you can obviously identify, and they're clearly identifiable from the outset as a bad thing, right? There's no mystery about them. But then there's the other ones that make absolute perfect sense from one perspective, or you can sell them to yourself as an absolutely reasonable excuse to not do something because you're afraid. I spent a lot of time thinking about this. And again, I think it was sort of that – I had sort of a revelation moment as it relates to the investment property I currently have in Hawaii. And we can go down the specifics of the things that I had built up in my mind as reasons why I shouldn't do that, that were all absolutely reasonable reasons. We can even go back further in my life to career decisions I made, or things in relation to my marriage that I made decisions because I thought that's what was best for the marriage or for the family unit or whatever, when in reality they were fear responses. They were self-inhibiting responses that I was able to put a PR message to myself on it, that I was doing the noble thing, that I was self-sacrificing for one thing or another by not doing it. So I need all of you who really want to have success in their lives to figure out if you've got one of these. My guess is, to one degree or another, every single one of us has one of these. I'm not sure I know anyone who isn't pathological in some way who doesn't have one of these. So let's sort of jump in here. First, thanks for listening. I guess we should do some house cleaning first. So those of you who are listening on Stitcher, you are set. we're into the next. Nothing has changed since yesterday as it relates to me recapturing my RSS feed from Blog Talk Radio. However, I've gone through and I've sort of been looking at all the ways my show is getting out there, and the Stitcher feed continues to be pointed at the correct thing. So all you Stitcher folks are squared away. You've always been squared away, apparently. So you're fine. You're getting the right logo. You're getting shows updated directly from my website. You guys are all set. It's just you poor iTunes folks, which represents something like 80 to 90%, maybe even more, of the folks who listen to this show, that I need to get squared away. There is still a possibility that I will have to do some sort of create a new show thing as it relates to iTunes, but this will not affect you Stitcher listeners at all. You guys are all set. You're all in the new system, so you're set to go. If you'd like to get in contact with me, please head over to www.therebelbroker.com. That's www.therebelbroker.com. And from there, you can contact me via email. You can get hooked up with me in my Twitter feed. You can head over to the Facebook page. I'm slowly but surely building all of these things up. The web page is kind of number one on my hit parade this weekend. So I'm hopefully going to be doing some upgrades there. Maybe not such obvious stuff on the front end, but maybe some back end things to make things better. And again, I have a call out to all my listeners to share your stories with me. I want to know not just your stories of success, but also your stories of failure. And after we have finished this particular show, I want all of you to take a few minutes and think about what your alpha blockers are. What are the alpha things in your life? And these fall into a very specific category that you may absolutely not think of them as blockers, but we're gonna talk about them and try to figure out a way to analyze ourselves to decide if these are keeping us from achieving success in whatever it is we're doing. You know, in my case specifically in real estate, but more generally in anything else that you're trying to achieve, no matter what that might be. So we'll talk about that. Definitely suggest you subscribe in my Twitter feed. I'm going to ask all of you to please go to iTunes and subscribe if you haven't already. Please enter an iTunes review. The more reviews I get, the better placement my show gets in iTunes. And I am now all about shamelessly promoting the show. In order for it to proceed, things need to move in a certain direction. In order for me to achieve the things I want to achieve with the show, it needs to gain a higher level of popularity. I've sort of framed in my head a big picture of where I want to go with this, and there's an awful lot there. So it needs to become less the thing I do to vent, which is what it's been really since 2007, and more the central thing of what I spend my time doing. I want this to be what I do, and I need you to help me do that. And there's a whole lot of really cool things that are involved in that in the specific real estate world. If you're a real estate agent, I want you to go ahead and go to therebelbroker.com, and I want you to join the Rebel Broker Network. That will be a referral network where you don't just get to join and be part of it. I'll have to check you out, make sure you're actually licensed, and then you get graded on your performance. And if you don't perform at a certain level for the folks I refer, you don't get any more referrals. So that way, there's a much more stringent, I guess you could say, wall barrier there, so that folks who are looking for a really good agent have a much higher probability of getting one, because they're getting one through the Rebel Broker Network. And that's something I want to grow. I've got quite a few folks in it now that are scattered across the country in different areas. But I want to completely completely blow it up. I want to make it gigantic. So I've put together a specific database for it, and we're going to be looking at hooking that up to an internet portal as well. So in any event, I've got a lot of plans for the show, and only you can help me achieve them. I can't do them by myself. The only way this is going to happen is if you show the if you give the show some love, promote it yourself, take these small steps to help push the show further, and then I can start bringing much more content I can provide. And for all of my members who get involved, who sign up to try to join the rebellion and reject the normal way, the status quo of doing things, and want to embrace a better way of doing things, I need you to just walk through this small gesture, go to iTunes, subscribe to the show, write a quick review. You have no idea how important that is to the show. And for all of you who've done it, thank you very much. For those of you who have not, please find a few minutes this weekend to do that for me, and I will be forever in your debt. And once you sign up at my website and get onto my list, you will be getting free stuff from me. Will there be things that I charge for down the road? Yeah, maybe. To be honest, I don't have anything planned. Everything I have in my head right now is stuff I want to distribute to folks free. For you, this show would be free. For you who sign up, the stuff I'm going to provide will be free. It doesn't mean I might not write a book or something down the road that I might want to sell, or that there might be some sort of a program that I want to sell, or sell as a subscription service kind of a thing. But I absolutely am dedicated to the proposition of making this a value add for you, that no matter what you're doing, whether it's in real estate or out, you're getting value from this. So in order for me to be able to supply that, I need feedback from you. I need to know what you're afraid of the most. What are the things that scare you in real estate or anything else? I'll either find out, or I'll find a guest who knows, and I'll bring them on the show. So this is all about communication between you, my listener, and me, the host, to provide what you need the most. So in order for that to happen, we really need to communicate with one another. Happy to have you do that via Facebook, via Twitter, via email, whatever you're most comfortable with. My phone number is also on just about everything, so feel free to give me a call. But first, I was trying to identify what's the number one hurdle. What's the very first thing that stops people from achieving anything? Specifically, we can start with real estate, since that's, you know, actually in the name of the show. But what is it? And let me give you a couple of examples from my personal experience. You know, it's about where you decide. In my case, there have been a couple in my life that come to mind. And one is taking certain levels of risk as it relates to, say, a real estate deal, right? You decide, you know, this would, you do the numbers and you decide this would be a good investment. But you maybe you have a wife, maybe you have a couple of children, and you're thinking, well, you know what? I'm taking a risk and I don't want to put them in jeopardy by taking this risk. Well, you've already put a stake in the ground right there. This is your alpha. You've found it. Because you're basically saying you don't trust your ability to do it, right? You've failed already. You've already concluded that you're going to fail. If that isn't an alpha, I don't know what is. So you need to get past that. You need to realize that you are effective enough at planning and predicting to anticipate a lot of things that are going to go on and to react appropriately to things that go on so that you are comfortable with the odds of your success. Can you guarantee yourself 100% success? No, you can't. But just think about it for a second. On the one hand, you're thinking you're protecting your family from a negative outcome. Well, what would be more negative for your family? Never even taking that step out into this opportunity and protecting them from any possible negative outcome, which may have a less than a 10%, depending on you can probably come up with some odds. What are your odds of success? If you're planning enough, you're limiting those negative potentials by a lot. So you've got a choice. You can have a 100% chance that you don't secure your children's future, a 100% chance that you won't be able to provide better things. You know, we're all concerned about education. Let's go with that example of family. We're all concerned about education, whether you're concerned about the quality of it or the direction of it or what's being taught. If you don't have the financial resources to send your children to private school, if that's a huge priority for you, then you are 100% saying to your family, I will not take the next step in terms of success, in terms of securing my future, in terms of giving my family options. I will guarantee 100% failure by not even trying. I suppose you could say, but you'll never think of it this way at the beginning. You could call it a complete lack of confidence in yourself to take this to the finish line. Once I phrased that to myself in that way, I was kind of ashamed of myself. And when I thought back on opportunities I had overlooked because I was concerned about the risk I was taking and how it would affect my family, I'm not sure. While I couched it in absolutely the most noble terms possible, I'm watching out for my family, right? Maybe it's that genetic male built-in thing, but I'm leveraging it within my own mind as a good thing because I'm passing up this amazing opportunity for my family, which is the opposite of what I just did. If I had really been about the benefit of my family, I would have embraced that opportunity. I would have figured out a way to push forward with it, to make it work. And then that requires other things, other thoughts. Okay, I can make this opportunity work for me, but I don't have all the skills I need to make it happen, so I'm just going to pass it up. It's another alpha blocker right there. So what's the solution to that problem? Get partners. Involve other people who have the skills you don't. You can go on like this all day long. And once you start seeing things that way, never be about the problem, be about the solution. Now, maybe I'm super passionate about this because over the last couple of years, I've realized I am not what I thought I was. And when I think about the time I've wasted not being who I thought I was, not being what I wanted to be, I had convinced myself I was. That's what makes it an alpha blocker. It's one that you will never identify as a negative thing when you're doing it. It will always feel like you're making the gallant gesture. You're the knight in shining armor making that right call, when in reality, you're avoiding that risk. You're avoiding the risk of looking like a failure because it doesn't work the way you want it to work. Maybe one way to get a little bit more insight into whether or not you should do something is if it gives you that little scared feeling in the pit of your stomach, walk towards it. If the idea of not doing it and protecting your family doesn't give you that little family, walk away from it. If you can at least acknowledge to yourself that what you have just identified is an opportunity, then you should totally go into problem solution mode. You don't have the money, find someone who does. You don't have the skills to do what needs to be happened to make it work, find someone who does. Figure out what your part in this opportunity can be and be willing to share the rewards with folks who bring skills you need. Don't let greed, right? And here's another great little alpha blocker is, well, if I bring in X, Y, and Z, I'll only end up making whatever. I'll only end up making 25% instead of 100%. Well, would you rather have 25% of something or 100% of nothing? When you finally put stuff into those terms, it's absolutely idiotic. Oh, well, it's not worth the amount of time I'll invest. It's not adequate compensation for my time. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because the true value in the effort isn't going to be the money you make. It's going to be the knowledge you gain. Remember, you've already decided that this is, if you really thought this crap through, it would make so much sense. And I let myself completely get taken in by this. So imagine the argument you're trying to make to yourself. I don't want to do this because it won't give me enough value. Well, if you narrowly define value as cash, which in my mind is the least important value, let's settle that right now. The least important aspect of this is how much money it makes you. Money, once money is spent, it's gone. It's done. But in this scenario, the greatest payoff for you will not be money. Whether that's literal or philosophical is up to you. I mean, if the reason you're deciding not to do it is because it's literally true, then you're not looking at everything widely enough because you've already admitted to yourself you need to bring in people with other skill sets. Great. So you bring those folks in. By virtue of being involved with this opportunity and working with these people who have skill sets you do not have, you will be learning their skill sets. Right? So the next time, you may not need that partner. So then suddenly the amount you make goes up. This is as much an investment in your education as whatever amount of time you've spent in a junior college or a college or in that vocational school or signing up for that online class, with the one difference being this knowledge will make you money sometime down the road. Knowledge has a tendency to do that, depending on the knowledge, right? And the knowledge we're talking about here is specifically aimed at exploiting an opportunity. So it's all going to be good. It is all going to be information and an experience that you're able to use down the road. You're going to learn lessons because you know what? You're not going to do every element of this right. The folks you bring in are going to occasionally make bad calls. You know, you all make decisions together because you're a team. But as a team, you're going to make some bad calls. That's the way it works. Don't let those discourage you. Don't decide to quit because you're in the middle of a bad decision. Be about the solution. All right, so I can't fix the decision we made. Let me give you an example. So I started a company last year based on the idea that my kids were going to do it. And I organized the company in the wrong way. I shouldn't have organized it as a corporation. I should have organized it as a sole proprietorship. Well, so I'm going to dissolve the corp because the corp basically will yearly cost me more money. Now, and a lot of folks are simply saying, oh, you know what? You should just forget it. Just don't even bother doing it. Well, that's not a solutions-oriented approach. So I still want my kids to learn the lessons of business, but I need to reorganize it in a way that makes more sense, right? So maybe that's not a great example, but it's an example that I can relate to because I lived through it. But that's the mindset you've got to get into. You've got to stop thinking, I'm not going to do this because, and instead always have it start with, I'm doing this because. And you can do what all rational people do before they make decisions. You can make those lists of reasons to do it and reasons not to do it. But you better have a very deep understanding of each of those reasons you use to not do it. I'm protecting my family from risk. Bullshit. Chuck it out immediately. The bottom line is the only thing you should be concerned about is if it fails. If you do your homework and you figure, you know what? I figure I got an 80 to 90% chance of pulling this off. Do it. 60 to 70%? Do it. 50% chance? Depends on what you may end up losing. Depends on what that worst case scenario may be at the end. But I'll tell you what. Even if it fails and you lose money, when you're done and at the other end of it, it's a success because you will have learned something. You will have seen what the results of your actions and your labors were, and by virtue of that, you will learn things. I guarantee it. Some of the lessons I have learned in life that are the ones I cannot unlearn came from failures, not from successes. Successes are easy. It's the labor of failures that's going to bring you the greatest rewards down the road. So how do you identify the alphas that are blocking you? Because they're sneaky. They deserve a name of their own. They're not just excuses to not do something. They are valiant reasons to avoid risk that are complete bullshit. So now for me, psychologists tell us that change only occurs after a significant emotional event. It's one of the few things I remember from psych class in college. I always thought that was interesting. Well, what the hell is a significant emotional event? For me, I think it was probably my divorce. I think anyone who's actually invested in their marriage would have a hard time not categorizing a divorce as a significant emotional event. But it had me questioning all kinds of stuff and re-examining things and looking at things without the rose-colored glasses on and occasionally being hypercritical of myself. But then in that questioning of things that there was no upside to questioning, there was a questioning of my fundamental assumptions of why I didn't do things. For other people, it could be a different thing. Maybe for that alcoholic, it's the moment they see the videotape of them at their sister's wedding, remembering only being a fun-loving person at that event where who everyone enjoyed, and seeing that video and realizing they ruined their sister's wedding. Maybe that's a significant emotional event. Maybe it's being addicted to something else, some drug, and realizing that you just stole money from a relative to get what you need. I don't know what the significant emotional event's going to be for you. I don't know if you have to have one in order to start seeing these alphas that are blocking you. I don't think you do. But then that's hard for me to say because I kind of had a significant emotional event that over the course of the year, 2 years after, I was doing an awful lot of self-analysis, but maybe that's all you need. Maybe you can skip something that is a significant emotional event and you can just focus on the analysis part. Just start looking inward and deciding and really dissecting what you're doing. So what I'm going to suggest is start looking for opportunities. Don't just casually walk through life and hope you stumble upon one. Figure out the things you like, the things you're interested in, the things you're most passionate about, and look into them. Maybe you have an ability to communicate that's amazing. You can take complicated things and make them simple and more understandable. To a certain degree, I believe this is a skill that I have. It's one reason why I'm drawn to doing this show and why I'm moving more and more towards doing it. Now, is that true? I don't know. I've been told by folks I've talked to that it's a good skill that I have, that I need to nurture it and move it forward. Great. So I'm going to do that. But figure out where your passion lies and start moving towards that. Figure out what that means. What are the things that need to happen? What are the opportunities that you need to find or create? Because you, in some areas, you can create the opportunities. What do you need to find or create in order to take the next step? The amazing thing is, by and large, you don't need Tony Robbins. You don't need Robert Whitelaw. You don't need any of these guys who are trying to sell you X, Y, and Z on the internet to figure this stuff out. Google is a miraculous thing. I want to grow this podcast. I would like this podcast to be my job. I Googled that. And I have now a to-do list that is going to hopefully present that opportunity, to make that opportunity into a reality. And I'm committed to making that happen. You can do the exact same thing. Now, if it's in the world of real estate, I've got some information I can share with you. I've been sharing it since 2007. I'm going to continue to do that. And I hope that it helps you move forward with your goals. But find those opportunities, analyze them, and then see how you react to them. So many people can get a great level of enthusiasm mustered up at the beginning of something. And then they start to think about, well, you know, this might not be the best thing for the family, or I really don't have time. Those are your alphas, folks. If you've already decided, if your brain has categorized it as an opportunity, there should no longer be a question of whether or not you pursue it. You need to start going through the other things in your lives that do not push the opportunity forward and slice them out and give that time to nurturing the opportunity. So does that mean you quit your job? No, because that's contributing to the opportunity, right? Because you still need to pay the rent. You still got to feed the kids. You got to make the car payments. You got to pay the insurance. Groceries still need to come into the house. So that is something that acts in support of it. I'm not asking you to do stupid things, despite how some of this may sound. I'm just asking you to pursue the opportunities. There's no reason to not. We've got ourselves into a place where we don't wear failure very well. Look at a guy like Trump, right? Why does he succeed? He is incapable of perceiving anything negative about himself. He is able to redefine the world around him by saying that bankruptcy was a business decision and it ended up being good. But maybe that's a healthy thing. I don't know. But you know, when you really look at his history, that seems to be the one thing that works in his favor. He seems to be incapable of having an alpha because there's just he is the most awesomest of all in his own head. Sounds like a real pain in the ass to hang out with, but in some way or another, it seems to work for him. Not suggesting you emulate Donald Trump, by the way. I wouldn't. But that's where your journey has to start. It's all about, A, deciding you're going to take the journey. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of following every other rat into the maze. I'm tired of grabbing the briefcase, walking into the first floor, getting into the elevator, using my little security card to get into wherever I'm going, and sitting in my little 8x5 chunk of the floor for 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day or whatever I'm required to do. I'm still going to do that, but I'm going to make time for pursuit of the opportunity. I'm going to make time for the creation of my opportunities. And I know that sounds like a Tony Robbins moment. And maybe at the beginning, that's what it needs to be, but it needs to be sustainable. So it can't just be, in my mind, it could never be, I'm going to do this because I want to make X amount of money. For me, it's always been, I want to have this level of freedom. I want to have this level of independence. I want to be able to feel like I'm achieving this or helping X amount of people achieve different things. You know, my real estate business was always that way. And it still is. It's always been about helping people achieve their goals. I've always loved the first time home buyers, where I feel like I'm really making the biggest difference for those folks. And it's not always easy to identify what's at the core of why you do things that you're drawn to. And for me, it took a while. You know, at first I was drawn to real estate because my grandfather did it. And I have an amazing amount of love and respect for him. But then I realized it was because a lot of the things that he did lit me up in terms of he just really helps people. He's just a very good guy. I wanted to be a good guy, and that's what he was. What is it for you? Now, of course, I get into a little bit more detail on that and my personal analysis of where I want to go. You need to do the same thing. What is it you're drawn to? When you think about doing things, what are those things that make you smile? If you love building things and you just get this amazingly great feeling of satisfaction when you have finished it and you love being able to hold it in your hand, that's a great thing, man. Figure out how to turn that into an opportunity. How do you turn that into the thing that you love to do, that you do well, and that you do in a way that compensates you, that gives you the freedom and independence that you want? That's what it's all about. And that very first step is going to be overcoming those alphas, those things that are holding you back that you think you're doing for amazingly good reasons. So I'd love to hear back on for anybody who gets anything out of this particular show, I'd love to hear back from you. What are your alphas, right? And remember, alphas aren't the obvious easy stuff, like I'm tend to be lazy or I'm not good at this. I mean, those are obvious negative things. Alphas tend to be things that we absolutely associate with a positive trait or a positive good thing. But that's not what they are. We're using them to protect ourselves from the ego hit of failure. So I'd love to hear what yours are. Again, if you'd like to get in contact with me, you can head on over to www.therebelbroker.com. Lots of stuff still coming down the pike, and I'm excited to have you on the journey with me. And of course, as we go, as I experience success and failure, I want to share those with you. But again, I want to share everyone's successes, everyone's failures, because I honestly and truly believe that we can all help each other by sharing that kind of stuff. So I appreciate you tuning in. Hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. I'll be talking to you guys on Monday.